Hello, and welcome to Cornwall Woman. This is the podcast about cool Cornish women and their love affair with Cornwall. We're off to the beach again today. I'm going to meet 21-year-old Emily Stevenson, aka the Beach Guardian. You might have heard about her. She wore a dress made of crisp packets to her graduation ceremony to raise awareness of litter on beaches. And she did get some attention. Beach cleaning is an experience that she finds cathartic in many ways.
Beach cleaning has made me thrive and happier than I've ever been. Having that sense of self-worth and going out in the open and seeing people every day and doing something good for the environment has just helped me tenfold to overcome this traumatic experience that I had.
She's got lots of local businesses joining her in her fight to keep plastic out of the seas around the Cornwall coast. And she even got a letter from David Attenborough, which, not surprisingly, she found massively encouraging. Today, she's leading a beach clean at beautiful Trianon Bay, which is near Padstow. So I'm just walking down to the beach now. I've just arrived. It's a lovely, huge sandy beach, and remarkably, there are rows of people bent down closely over the sand with buckets and plastic bags and presumably digging all sorts of things out of the sand. And I can see people carrying big chunks of driftwood up the cliffs. And hopefully this is where I will find Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Karen.
Hello.
You okay?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
You too. Hello. I'm just amazed at what's going on here, and people are really kind of crouched right down into the sand picking out the tiniest bits of plastic, I presume.
Yeah, so when we have beach cleans, a lot of the time people will come and expect to see big piles of plastic bottles and loads of big nets, and that's quite often not the case anymore because we have 2-minute beach clean boards all around our Cornish beaches, which is great. So people are keeping on top of the bigger stuff. What we have today, the big problem is the microplastics. So people get really stuck in kneeling down, as you say, and just picking out tiny little bits. And you know, at the end of the beach clean, they'll only have maybe a small handful, but in that small handful, they'll have thousands of tiny pieces of plastic, which are the really dangerous stuff for the environment.
In fact, you've got some here
in
this sieve, haven't you? Just show what do you think is in there? They really are tiny and lots of little bead kind of things as
well. Yeah, so what we have here amongst it all, the tiny little beads are what we call nurdles. And there are kind of two types of nurdles. Here I have one that's really quite smooth, and that's a pre-production pellet. So that would have been shipped off somewhere and turned into plastic items, whether it's melted down into a mould or vacuumed into a mould. You know, I've got a clear one here that might have been used to make a plastic bottle. And then we have another kind here, and these are what we call bio beads. And they're actually used in wastewater treatment. So what plastic is really great at is absorbing really nasty toxins. So that's their purpose in the treatment plant. But what happens with storms and various other incidents is they will get lost and then go straight out to sea. And that's when we find them washing up on our beaches. So really, really nasty stuff that we have to really work hard to keep on top of.
If you and all the people who are here today didn't collect all of this stuff, what would happen to it, and why is it dangerous?
Okay, so if we didn't come and do a beach clean as we are today, on the next tide some of it would have been taken straight back out again. More could be washed in. Every day we do a beach clean and there is fresh stuff washed up. I guarantee if we come back to this beach tomorrow, there will be the same amount, if not more, because on every tide we're getting more and more coming in, which is why we need to keep on top of it. And the microplastics are particularly dangerous because they're so small. They're very easily confused with the natural food for a lot of marine animals, such as seabirds, for instance. They look a lot like fish eggs, as you can see. And so they're eating these, thinking that they're food. And what is also happening is a process called biofilming, where the plastics are getting coated in this microalgae. So they don't only look like the food, but they're now smelling like food as well. So there is no real way for these animals to distinguish them from their natural food sources. It's really quite tragic, actually.
How did you first start getting into doing beach cleans? You've been doing it since you were a teenager, haven't you?
Yeah, so we moved to Cornwall when I was about 11, and we moved to Cornwall because we love the beaches and that beach lifestyle. So we were spending as much time as possible on the beach, and we were seeing plastics back then. So it's always been a family thing of picking up the rubbish when you see it on the beach. And I think from there, my passion was just growing and growing. So I went to study marine biology at Plymouth University to get a deeper understanding, because I think I've always known that I just wanted to do something about this massive issue that we now have with the plastics.
You're 21 now, so you've been doing this for quite a long time. What changes have you seen in the amount of plastic that there is on the beach, but also in people's attitude towards it?
I think, as a general trend, the amount of plastic on the beaches is really difficult to say, because if no one was beach cleaning as much as they are, the effort people are going to is amazing. If no one was doing that, the plastic on the beaches would have massively increased. But because of that, it might appear that the beaches are getting cleaner, if you see what I mean. But then when we have a beach clean like we are today, and we look at the microplastics, which are quite often missed in beach cleans, that has definitely increased. Really, in the last year, I've noticed just how many there are. I definitely wasn't really noticing this extreme amount of microplastics back 10 years ago. So I think with the microplastics, a definite increase. And the mindset of people, when we go into schools, we see the children are just switched on to it. The problem is a massive problem, and they know that, but they also know that they can do something about it, which I think is key with plastics. I was growing up with everyone talking about climate change as a massive issue, and I think with big issues like that, people can often feel like there's nothing that they can do to help to prevent it. But with plastic, it's an everyday item that everybody sees, so everybody can feel like they can do something about it.
There's this beach clean happening today. You do these quite regularly, and you do workshops in schools. What's your ambition as a beach guardian? What changes would you like to see happen in your lifetime?
If I can educate people so that they then have the knowledge and feel empowered to go and make changes themselves, then I think that would be really, really great, because it's all well and good me knowing the problem myself and going on about it, but when people then feel that they've got the knowledge to be able to make big changes, and they feel like they're making big changes and making a difference, then I think that will be absolutely beautiful, to have people feeling like they're part of this big mission. And, you know, maybe in my lifetime there might be a massive reduction in the plastic in the ocean, and I'd like to think that people that I've engaged with will feel like they've been part of that. I think the sense of community with this is our strongest power.
And you're getting a huge amount of support, including from David Attenborough.
that was probably that one of my highlights so far, getting a letter from Sir David Attenborough. And there are no words. I have no words.
How did he know about what you were doing?
Look, we had the most amazing opportunity earlier, I think it was in May, where our local MPs, Scott Mann and Steve Double, they sponsored Beach Guardian to go up to Parliament. So we were there all day, and it was amazing. We had this most beautiful room, and loads of MPs came. So prior to that, I sent out loads of letters to various people, MPs, Sir David, just loads of people. And then like a month or so later, I got one back from him, and it was incredible.
So what did the letter say?
Tackling the problem of plastic waste in the sea is going to require the help of everyone, everyone underlined. Thank you so much for playing such a conspicuous and major part in the plight. Best wishes, David Attenborough. And it's handwritten as well, which just it's just amazing. I can't think of anything to say about it, because I am just speechless.
Will you tell me about your graduation? I think you wore something particularly, a particularly interesting outfit.
Yeah, so for my graduation, there was something I'd been planning to do for quite a long time. I didn't quite realise how difficult it was going to be to execute it. But basically, on every beach clean, pretty much, we're finding crisp packets. And they have a use-by date on. And a lot of them are 10, 20, 30 years old. The oldest one that we found now is about 50 years old.
50?
Yeah, 50 years old. So that's almost going back to when plastics first started.
That's amazing.
It's scary. So it obviously shows that plastics don't go away. They don't break down. And if I'm still finding a crisp packet that looks exactly like a crisp packet. In fact, today I found, just to show you how easy it is, this Galaxy Minstrels packet. Obviously it's not a crisp packet, but it shows that food packaging, single-use food packaging, and there is a date there, it's very faint, and it says 31st of the 10th, 1999.
Wow.
And I literally found that today.
That's nearly 20 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, it looks, yeah. It doesn't really look very, I mean, you can tell because the design is slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm an expert on every chocolate packet in the world, but
it's retro.
But other than that, it's like, well, you can still read all the writing and everything.
The colour, everything is still almost pristine. So I just find this sort of thing absolutely shocking. And I wanted to highlight it to everyone and also send the message that this single-use packaging is just really not acceptable. If I'm finding ones that are 50 years old, then in 50 years' time, they're still going to be finding the ones that we're eating today. And it just actually, like, breaks my heart to see this sort of thing. So I decided that I was going to wear a dress made out of Walker's crisp packets to my graduation. And it just worked so perfect because I was really worried that this is quite a formal thing. And I didn't want to upset anyone by bringing my movement to the graduation. But before the graduation started, the gentleman that was presenting, he said, what we need to do now if we leave university is go with our hearts, and if we feel passionate about something, then do it. And as soon as he said that, I was like, I knew that I'd done the right thing. And since then, it's just been incredible. The response that I've had is exactly what I wanted. I wanted people to start talking, and that's exactly what they did.
And you don't just do beach cleans on the beach, you go out into the ocean as well.
Yeah, so we've got a great, as I say, I keep saying it, but I just feel so passionately about it. We have a great community here in Cornwall. So a lot of the beach stores let us borrow kayaks to go out to sea and find the remote coves where a lot of plastics wash up and there aren't beach cleaners there. So we often find a lot when we do that. We're lucky to have a small little rib that we can use. So, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, I was walking along the coastal path and I saw a massive Ghost Gear fishing net out at sea. So I was then able to go out on the small rib and go and remove it straight away. So
what's a rib?
It's just a small inflatable boat.
And what do you do with all the litter that you've collected?
We like to think that we're a little bit different to other beach cleaning groups in that when we started doing beach cleaning and we were collecting all of this waste, we didn't want to send it back into the sort of waste system because we see it as a resource. Like these nurdles I have in my hand here, I think they're kind of cool. They're kind of a bit like,
they're almost pretty, aren't
they? Yeah. So we didn't want to just chuck it all away, and we want to keep reinforcing to everybody that we shouldn't have a wasteful mindset. We need to be looking at things as a resource and not as waste. So we started to collect everything. And then we had a great opportunity to get a great space, which we now call the lab. And we get all of our waste from the beach cleans. We clean it, we sterilise it, and we sort it. And then we're able to take this into schools and they can use it to make art out of it. So it's then for the children turning something that they may have viewed as waste into something that they can be proud of. And it's just, again, reinforcing the changing of the mindset And it just means that we're not sending everything straight back into the rubbish bin.
And you're getting a lot of support from local businesses as well who are doing their bit.
Yeah, I think what Blue Planet achieved was amazing because it got everybody talking and wanting to do the right thing. Unfortunately, something arose called greenwashing, where people were told the right thing to do is a certain thing, and then it might not necessarily be the right thing to do. So it's quite overwhelming for a business to know where to start with plastics and moving in the right direction. So we wanted to be the helping hand where we can go in and talk to these businesses and say, here's three simple things that you can do, and keep working with them and help them make their decisions. So since we're working with the businesses, we're now getting great support from them. A great example is Rick Stein's. Since we started, they have been amazing. For the whole month of November, they've had a charity lunch in their St. Petrox Bistro, where for every meal there's a £2 charge, and that's going to Beach Guardian. So it's just things like that. It's just so heartwarming to have that sort of support.
And local fishermen as well, you're encouraging them to join in.
Yeah, so with the fishing industry, a lot of what we find on the beach cleans is related to the fishing industry. But we also know that, again, it's difficult to find the alternatives. And again, we want to help the fishing industry and not go guns blazing against them. We're trying to encourage the Fishing for Litter scheme, and both Newquay and Padstow have adopted this. And I know definitely in Padstow, there are massive skips on the front there, which are full of old fishing gear, which is going off to be recycled. So that is just incredible to see that, you know, some people have the wrong idea about the fishing industry. And that just shows that in Padstow, they are getting this old fishing stuff and it's going to be recycled. They're not discarding it at sea. So, you know, it's that sort of thing that needs to be encouraged.
Helping the environment, of course, is a, you know, what can be a better way of spending your time on a Saturday morning. But you think, you believe it's got good benefits for us, you know, mental health-wise and well-being-wise as well.
Absolutely. The contrast of being out here on the beach in the fresh air compared to being sat in a room at home, maybe in the dark, you know, especially with winter coming, it's very difficult for people that live in Cornwall, because in summer there's a massive buzz everywhere and it's busy, there's people everywhere. Soon as winter hits, it's ghost town, and a lot of people go that whole period without seeing anybody. So we've now got, as you can see from today, we've got maybe 20 people here, and we do often get groups up to 100 people in the winter coming down. We're all friends, we've got this amazing sense of community, and, you know, it's a place where we can all go, get out in the fresh air, see friends, you know, have a catch up and do something good for the environment. It ticks all the boxes, and I think it's great for everybody to get involved.
I saw something on your Facebook page a few weeks back about a very serious operation you'd had a while ago.
Last October, it was all done inside the mouth, and they basically cut away the bit of skin that joins my upper lip to my top jaw, and they peeled that up, kind of peeled my face off my head, and they removed half a centimetre of skull in between my top jaw and my nose. And they removed a bit of my nose as well, because of the deformity in my jaw, I had sleep apnea. So, you know, for years I wasn't sleeping and was lethargic and that sort of thing. So they solved that. And then on my bottom jaw, they had to separate my jaw from my skull. So they cut that away, and I've now got four plates in my face.
And were you bullied because of that then?
Yeah. Yeah, for years in both places, living up in Suffolk and then moving down here, being the new girl is never fun, and it makes it worse and you look different to people, but fine now.
Why did you post that? Why did you want to?
I think for young people, there are a lot of subjects that are maybe often avoided, and bullying is definitely something that people tend to avoid, the topic of conversation. And I wanted to show people, I mean, as I say, we go into a lot of schools, and I wanted the school children that we've engaged with to see that if there's an issue, you can come out the other end and be happier. So I wanted to explain that I've had my own struggle in life, but that beach cleaning has made me thrive and happier than I've ever been. And it is just that whole having that sense of self-worth and going out in the open and seeing people every day and doing something good for the environment has just helped me tenfold to overcome this traumatic experience that I had.
What's the one bit of advice that you'd give to Cornwall Woman listeners to help make Cornwall plastic free?
My go-to bit of advice is always plastic bottles. I think they can be easily avoided with reusables. You can get so many groovy alternatives now and colourful bottles. And then also you can get cans that can be easily recycled again and again and again. And do your own beach clean. It's great fun and it's great to get out in the open.
Do you think you could do what you do if you lived somewhere else, if you were still in Suffolk? What is it about Cornwall that enables you to be so successful in the beach cleaning?
Well, being in Cornwall, I'm very, very lucky to have these beautiful beaches everywhere. And it's kind of, if you go to a beautiful place, you want to leave it looking beautiful. So it's easy to just pick up a bit of plastic and know it's the right thing to do. Whereas sometimes maybe walking through the city, when I've been up to London, people just walk past litter because it's seen every day. So I think maybe then it's not as easy to make these decisions. If you drop a bottle in the middle of London, chances are that's going in the Thames and that's going into the ocean. We are all linked. If you drop a bottle in Cornwall, it could end up in Indonesia. There's no point pointing the finger at people because we are all together in this and we need to be working together.
And I expect this is a difficult question for you, but do you have a favourite place in Cornwall?
I do. I love it all and it is all equal, but there is one place that is very close to my heart, and that is a small village called Trevone by Padstow, and that's where I live and have lived since we moved down. And it's just got so much to it. It's, you know, where we've grown up, and yeah, Trevone is beautiful.
You graduated a couple of months ago. What's next for you professionally?
Good question. I honestly don't know. I have no idea what the future holds, but what I do know is that I'm going to keep doing Beach Guardian and putting in as much effort all the time, and let's just see where that takes us. I do believe that with the support that we've had so far and we can see the impact so far, it's just going to keep growing, and I think there are big things to come for Beach Guardian.
I hope so.
Me too.
Thank you, Emily.
No, thank you so much for coming to see me.
I think there are big things to come for Emily. She's so impressive, inspiring and selfless. And she's doing beach cleans all over Christmas. If you fancy joining one yourself, there's a list of them on her Facebook page. Look for Beach Guardian. I'll share a link to it as well. This is the last episode of Cornwall Woman for now. Unlike Emily, I'm going into hibernation. I'll be making time for long walks, log fires and starry winter nights. But if this is your first time here, please do check out the other episodes. There's lots of other wonderful wild women of Cornwall to hear about. You can subscribe via Podbean, iTunes or Acast to find them. I hope you enjoy them. Goodbye.